All right, good morning, Calvary. All right, I have one request for my youth up there. Hey, you see me? I'm waving at you up there. Can you guys do me one favor just for today? Can you guys join me down here, please? Just for today, guys, please. Cesar, I'm talking to you, bro. I would appreciate it, just a request. You could say no, but, you know, I just want us together. Appreciate it. All right. All right, my first few words, I don't think you expected me to call the youth down, right? I just got home from Malawi yesterday. I got home around 5 o'clock p.m. I'm a little bit jet lagged, a little bit tired, a little bit sleepy, but I am excited. I do want to share God's glory. I want to share God's truth and his beauty of Malawi, and not just Malawi, my mission trip, but God's journey, my life, and work in the church. And so definitely a big part of it that God has been speaking to me before I went on the trip in this past year is unity, is church unity. When I thought about Malawi, real quick, is the volume good? Or should I get closer? This good? We're good? All right. All right, just checking, guys. So, like, I've been thinking about and praying, and God, not just thinking about it, but God is revealing to me church unity. And unity is, you know, we see the word shalom in the Old Testament, which means, shalom means just peace and unity, right? And without this chaos, basically God's people, God's creation, having this peace, this unity of just pure joy, pure unity. And sometimes when I think of, like, I guess, what's the opposite of unity? Disunity? I haven't thought about it all the way through. But anyway, yeah, I think of the challenges we have for people to stay separated, right? I think about hate. I think about division. And so I sometimes think about my family. I hear people, you know, talk about how, you know, their families are all united. They have a big old family, and they go on family vacations, and they all do these things. I'm like, wow, that's beautiful. And yes, my family is great, and I thank God for it. But, you know, there's certain things that which could divide our families and our society, whether we lose people, whether we hate people. And so wanting the youth here together is because I just want to see unity, you know, with our church, the Spanish ministry, our ministry. And I don't want to see it. God desires that, you know, right before he departed, he prayed for unity in the church, that we are one. And the church, society, the world's going to know us by our love and us being united as one. And so as I speak today, guys, I hope just have faith and pray for me. Maybe this, you know, as I share, just say amen to things that you see God's truth in. It might not be a new revelation, but just say amen to agree with what God does and who he is. Not me, right? I'm just a vessel. God, I'm just trying to abide in the vine. And, you know, I'm one of the branches that God is extending his love and the church through. And so let me just pray as I, you know, start the service and talk about my life. Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for your glory, God. I want to thank you, God, for all the beauty, all the goodness that you are, Father. God, I just pray, Lord, that you could reveal more of your glory to your church, Father. I want you to reveal what beauty looks like, what strength looks like, what courage looks like, Father, what boldness looks like, what love looks like, God. I want you to reveal what joy and laughter looks like, God, all of that, Father. Maybe not right now, Father, but I want us to just experience your joy and your glory, God. Even through suffering, Father, through heartache, through pain, God, Father, I hope that we could see you in that as well, see you in creation. And so, God, as I talk about Malawi, Father, I just first want to put your name, God, first, God, and see how you're a God of missions. You're a God who pursues us. You're a God who, the Son of Man, the Bible says that the Son of Man came to seek, and the Son of Man came to serve. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that we can see that you're seeking us and you come to serve us, God. So bless this message. Bless us here, Father. I'm not sure where we're at, God. But ultimately, Father, that we could just say amen to your truth, God, and partake in your kingdom and your missions, Father. So we thank you, we pray, amen. All right. So today, I'm just going to share my testimony and my experience in Malawi. It might be a little bit scattered. You know, I just came in yesterday. It might be a little bit scattered, but I am going to just share, like I said, my journey. And so I'll share some scripture, I'll share some photos. It's kind of weird, because as I share these pictures, it's going to be a little bit cringe. I don't know why, but when I see pictures of people in Africa, I'm like, man, that's kind of weird. It looks stereotypical, it looks like, you know, kind of basic. And so can you show the first picture? Because this is like a basic picture. There we go. Look at that guy. Sorry, guys, my style of speaking is a little bit, little informal, but as I speak a little bit informal, I want you to know that I care about what I'm saying and God cares about it. Just have to say that real quick. So that's a picture of me in my Mexico jersey. I'm in a village called Chaliza, and this is in Malawi. Where's Malawi? Malawi's near South Africa. So it's just right above it. So kind of Southeast Africa, closer to Central. I thought about it. Right now I saw Taylor and she's like, where's Malawi? Is that in Asia? No, Malawi's not in Asia, it's in Africa. And so right here we have some kids. But before I talk about what's going on in this picture, I do want to share that a year ago, and I've been sharing this, I keep on going up and I share my life, that a year ago, I did not want to do discipleship. I did not want to do missions a year ago. I'm being honest. A year ago, what happened with me a year ago, guys, and I'm saying the truth, is that I was in a space where I felt definitely empty. I didn't feel as much joy. And I was kind of tired. I was tired of certain things in my life. I was definitely just tired, if I could explain it. But even though I was tired, I knew in my mind truth. Little by little, God was revealing truth. I started listening to messages from different preachers. I'm like, God, just please show me something. I've known the truth of you in my life since I was a kid. I've seen the truth of you in my family, my dad. I know that you're real. And at this point, I'm just going to be obedient and say yes. And so I started serving more in church, and I started doing things in the church, even though I didn't feel it. But because I knew it was truth, I just felt to be obedient. And in that time of obedience, as I said yes to things, God was revealing little things here and there. And I hope today, throughout your week, if you feel like me, maybe a little bit tired or a little bit numb to God's word, God is speaking. God is revealing himself always. But you have to be still and realize that. And I'll share that later on. And in this time of being obedient, little by little, God, then he showed me, I'm going to go through really quickly, but God then revealed to me to be still and to know God. I just had to know God was still moving and God was still working. I remember I went to a Bible study and it was talking about the fruit of the Spirit producing joy. And I'm like, I don't really feel joy. Like, I don't see that. I don't feel that. And I prayed for God to reveal more of that joy. And come December, I got to know God. God just, for some reason, the statement, I am, got big in my life. I am. And if you know what I am means in the Bible, God reveals himself in Exodus to Moses as the great I am. And what does I am mean? Like, how are you going to know God as I am? It's because God is just so glorious, so big, that he couldn't give us like a name or a category, because our brains can't understand who God is. And so God tells Moses, I am who I am. And for me, I'm like, okay, God, I am. And when I got to know God as I am, what that basically means is being. I am means that God exists, always existing, and he is, that he's always existing. A challenge for me, guys, is that my anxiety was getting to me. Studies are showing, and we know this, I don't have to bring up studies, guys, but our society is becoming more and more anxious. As a mental health professional, anxiety is the biggest form of mental health that we're all challenged by. Whether if it's clinical, high anxiety, or just little forms of anxiety, we are concerned. Move to the others. Mike. Check. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Mic check. We're good. 1, 2, 1, 2. Mic check. 1, 2. All right. Hold up. I'm going to pull this back a little bit. All right, what was that? Anxiety? Don't be anxious. I'm not anxious right now, but anxiety, what is anxiety? Basically, anxiety is fear. The Bible says, you know, it talks a lot about fear. Everybody goes through fear. So you're like, I'm not anxious. I don't have fear. In the Bible, the opposite of faith is fear. Every day we're supposed to be living by faith. Faith that even what I'm sharing up here, when I'm sharing up here, you have faith that God is going to be working in me. If you don't feel like God is going to be working in me, you're not led by faith. You're led by fear, like, oh man, this fool, this guy up here, he's going to mess up God's word. He's going to mess up his testimony. And you're operating by fear. There's a little bit of echo up here. There goes my anxiety. I have to have faith in sound. All right. And so what anxiety does is that you become your thoughts. You then become your thoughts. You don't become who God created you to be. Your anxiety is then define who you are. If you keep on thinking about work, 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 you keep on thinking, oh, my family, I need to help my family. You start having so much anxiety and you stop to just exist. You stop to just be and be who God created you to be. And so when I got to know God as a great I am, always existing, not shaped by these negative thoughts that broke me in a way that I just started seeing God's grace and God's love. That was in, you know, December. And then that led me to reading the book of John and going through the I am statements of the book of John. If you're not familiar with the book of John, go through it and you'll see the I am statements. And I came across a few of them, and I'll share today just some of the I am statements which God really revealed to me. Well, not that picture. What the heck? You go back to the other one. That one's really, all right. Thank you. I don't know how that one got up there. And then from January, I got to a space where I knew God as a great I am. And the Gospel of John says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. So I want to know God as truth. And then from there, trying to seek truth, I wanted to seek God revealed to me, seeking truth in God's church and history. Seeing that God's history and God's unity, God's church, is truth. So when I think of Malawi, I think that now I think of Malawi's history is actually my history. I'm up here now, I'm representing Mexico in that jersey, right? But growing up, I learned U.S. history, right? I didn't really learn so much other history. And when I learned church history, I learned church history from, you know, what's going on with the church fathers, what's history in the evangelicals and Christians in America. But I didn't learn about the history of Malawi. I didn't learn about the history of how God is moving in the people of Malawi and how that's my history, human history, God's working in his people. And so that was my mentality and my spirit going to Malawi is I'm actually going to go see my history or God's history of what he's working in Malawi. Gosh, God's church in Malawi, and God's people in Malawi. So with that said, now I want to go through the picture. I'm going to go through some of the pictures and explain my mission trip. Get some water. You can go ahead and go to the next one. I'm going to come back to this. This was... You can stop there. Stop there. Yeah. So what's this right here? This was day one, Sunday, World Cup final. And so I'm not going to lie. When I looked at the dates I'm going to Malawi, I saw that I was going to be in Malawi for the World Cup final. I'm like, man, I'm not going to be here and celebrate with my family and my friends. But one thing about Malawi, though, Malawi loves soccer. Malawi loves football. And so, you know, Malawi, they actually have fans out here. In America, we have casual soccer fans. We love other sports. People just rode the wave for Mexico just for like a month, and they're probably going to forget about Mexico's national team. But over there, we got together at night and we put up a screen and we watched it. We had food. And so let me explain a little bit about when we landed and who's in this picture. So my team had about 20 or so people. So I went with a church called Mosaic. Mosaic is a church that is actually started in East LA, and they had a Mosaic Whittier. And so it's from this community, a lot of the members there. And originally, a lot of members are from the southeast part of LA. And Mosaic comes from, you know, the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention. And so that's the roots of it. Now it became non-denominational, like a lot of churches have become. And the main pastor, Pastor Irwin, he's Salvadoran. One of the reasons why I connected with the church there, because from this community, Pastor Salvadoran, my dad's Salvadoran, I'm something like Salvadoran. And through Mosaic, they have different churches throughout the world. They have one in Ecuador. They have a plant in New York. And the team of 24 that showed up, most of us, or about 20 of us, came from LA. Two people joined from Ecuador. Another person came from Mosaic, New York, and from other parts, and I forget where else. So that was the team I was with. Most of the people there were women. I'm going to come back to that. But a lot of people in ministry right now are women. If you look at churches, they're the ones leading. They're the ones praying. There's just a few guys. There's like probably five guys and like 20 women. And when we got there, I landed and I stayed at a church called ABC, which stands for African Bible College. They have three campuses, one in Malawi, one in Uganda, and one in Liberia. I think that's correct. And at the university, we're working with the interns there. The interns are students, either freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. They're all interns. Most of them are in their 20s. If you think of college students, usually college students here, they're 18, 19, 20, you know. But over there, they're kind of in their mid-20s because it takes them a long time as they're going through schooling for them to actually take it serious and then go to college because of money, because of education there. But they had about 20 or so interns, and the interns there, Malawi, they speak English. The younger generation speaks English and learning that at their schools. So a lot of them spoke English a little bit broken, their accent's a little bit more from like a British accent because they were colonized by Britain. And so some of the words that they use, you know, they say, instead of saying fries, they say chips, you know, and so that's kind of hard for me to say that, but not to say the word, but to believe. So World Cup Day, I was celebrating with them. Spain won. I was going for Spain. That's not a big part of the testimony, but they were so excited for these countries, you know, Argentina and Spain, you know, and even though they weren't, you know, from Africa, they just know the history. And so that's how I connected. The first thing when they welcomed us at the airport, I'm like, what do I talk to them about? It was just soccer. I was with the men. I was just talking soccer, connected with them. And we spoke that language. All right. As I share that, guys, I just want to kind of share some context, right, of who they are and the people on my team. That piece wasn't so inspiring, but I want you to know who, what made up the team. Go ahead and next slide, please, our next picture. So this is Monday. We go into a village in Chilinisa. This village, we've been working with for the past few years. Chilinisa is a village within the capital city of Lilongwe. And Malawi, guys, there's so many countries in this world, but if you were to look up, you know, the poorest countries are mostly in Africa, you know, and in Southeast Asia. But Malawi is actually one of the poorest countries in Africa. Removed because it's part of the southeast part, so very, very poor. Where the village is there is what you probably think in your head. You know, a lot of the people there are living in these, like, the houses made out of, you know, the natural, the resources there, from like the straw and then the, like, kind of like adobe, right? And there they have their chiefs. They still have, you know, traditions there. Their chiefs aren't like what we think of. They're more, you know, their chiefs dress up in a suit and a tie. That's what the chiefs look like. And when we drove into the bus, all the kids, you know, they flocked the bus and they started saying this word. I don't know, I forgot how to say it in their language. It's Techewa, that's what they speak. But they basically say, white people, and they're so happy to see us. And I'd explain to them that I'm not white. And they're like, well, no, you're white. And basically, if you're not as dark as them or their skin color, you're white. Even on our team, we had people that were half black. They're like, no, you're white because you're not like us. And I had to kind of explain our history, the differences. But at the end of the day, we're humans. But they were just so happy to receive us. The first day was just a village welcome. And I was able to do home visits. And so I visited about two houses only. I spent a long time just talking to the people there. I got to meet people. So I met this family. It was midday. And at midday, nobody's working. They're at home because they wake up early to work. A lot of them are farmers in this town. But the men, they go out to the city while the women just kind of stay home and take care of the family. And so when I was visiting, doing home visits, you know, I saw some of the women there and the kids. One thing I immediately think about when we're talking, I was trying to ask them, like, you know, what are the challenges there? I didn't want to get in deep. If you know me, I'm a mental health clinician. I didn't want to go in deep and be like, well, the challenge, can I get to know more about your family? So they told me about their family and how, you know, they get married young. And what they want the most are kind of like healthy families. Same as Americans, we all want healthy families. But one thing they're noticing is a lot of suicide in their community. Suicide because of relationships. A lot of them, they're dating, they're partners, they could probably get married. You know, they have kids, but there's a lot of, you know, just sometimes the relationships don't work out, and which brings them a lot of meaning. The villages here, they don't have, the kids don't have, you know, their cell phones, they don't have their TVs. And so life is very communal, very, very communal. And they entertain themselves just talking all the time, you know, just hanging out, their houses are so close to each other. Two things that stood out to me this past, I'm reading a book called The Reason for the Church. This book called The Reason for the Church is actually, it won an award last year for the best, by Christianity Today, as the best book in Christianity. And what this book is about is really, is giving a reason why we need the church. What this book explains is that right now in our society, people are believing in God, but they're believing it individually. They're not sharing it. They're not sharing their faith. They're not sharing their life with people. And we're saying, like, yes, we do, but I got to tell you that when I see the church and I see society, we know that we are so individualized in our culture. And the church has become like that too. This book really wants to present a case why we need the church. The church, God created the church for a way for us to glorify Him, for God to extend His love through the church, that Christ is the head of the church. Christ says that the church is my bride. So you have to respect the church. And the church is His body. And so God, in His creation of humanity, in His creation, He made the church for us to really be a part of. But a lot of us don't get it, how what the church is made up for. When we miss out on church events, we miss out on church, you know, worship. They're like, I don't think people are going to notice. I don't think it's important for me to share with the body. No, we need to find it in our hearts and our minds why the church is so beautiful and glorious, what God needs to bless us through. We need to come out of our individualized, I'm going to live my faith alone. No, we have to move through the church. And so I definitely saw that as I was in this village, the first reaction of how it just seems so simple, but their community is about relationships. I was definitely concerned with their suicide as a mental health clinician, because over there, mental health, what is it, right? They don't really have so much mental health resources. Well, they don't have much mental health resources or help. But one thing that they pointed out to me, they're like, how old are you? And you're like, I'm like, I'm 36. And you're like, you're single? I'm like, yes. And they kept on joking about that the whole time. I was trying to get to know them, but they kept on asking, like, why are you 36 and single? I'm like, I know. You guys sound like my parents. And they couldn't understand that because of the shame to be, or they'll look at you sideways. And they still look, you know, society now, they look at you sideways if you're in your 30s or even in your late 20s and you're still single. But as I was visiting people, that was the first family. The second family was a family that was just definitely just so blessed or happy that in this village, Mosaic, we built a school there. I don't want to say we, it's not like I built it, right? But a school is built there through the church. And the school that is built there is one of the best, it's actually one of the best schools in all of Malawi. It's a simple school, but for them it's one of the best. And with the school, they built teacher housing around there. It's very nice. Can you go to the next slide? Let me see if it's up there. I think it's the next, yeah. So that's one of the houses there. And so there's like a row of four houses, and there's some other houses where they house the teachers. And so the same day we went around the village and I got to see the housing and the teachers there. And this has been such a blessing, because going to Malawi, trying to help the people there, yes, definitely to share the gospel, right? Definitely to reveal God's glory of hope. But it's more than just telling them God loves them, and it's more than just trying to be like, be strong. What's important is to create systems of support there, systems of help. And so building a school there, building housing, is a system which for generations is going to bless them, right? And this church, this education, you know, this school is noticed by the community. Now kids are motivated, like, wow, if you ever, you know, when I've been to different, you know, colleges. I went to, you know, Rio Hondo. I went to ELAC. I went to, I got my credential at UCLA. I went to, you know, I said Biola, right, I think. I went to a lot of different schools. I went to Cal State Dominguez Hills. I went to Cal State LA. I'm not going to go through all of that. But I've been in, you know, I remember, like, even in high school, when you have classes in the bungalow, you're like, oh, man, I'm going to go to the bungalow. It's horrible. But when you go to a university that's newly built, that has fresh air conditioning, it kind of motivates you to want to study. The whole community, they had this very, very poor school, and now they have this new kind of state-of-the-art for their community school, and it's motivating the community to start reading, to start learning. And so can you go to the next slide? Here I'm with the, I'm going to kind of speed it up now. Go to the next slide. So for the first day, now this is the second, third day, we were helping out their kids ministry there. And so not ministry, well, their school. So we got there on the last week of school. The last week of school, if you're here in America, last week of school, a lot of people don't show up. A lot of people leave, right? The last week of school, like, you're done with tests, you know, you don't want to show up anymore. But the people there, they heard that we were coming. And the one reason why they wanted to come is because we're going to provide lunches, and good lunches. We provided, like, simple bread and drinks, and all the kids were excited because they were actually just drinking basic, you know, Fantas and Coca-Cola. But the kids, eating that up. A big thing I noticed about the kids there, as I walked in, I was definitely in culture shock. It was four teachers. It was me, another American, and then two of the natives there, the interns. They just walked in, and they started chanting. It was like the class right there was probably about 50 students. And they started chanting just when they walk in. And this is a group of about fifth and sixth graders. They all started chanting. And I'm a clinician, you know, mental health clinician. I work for a middle school. When I walk into a room, you know, a middle school, everybody just so nonchalant, not caring. You know, they don't care at all. They don't, not, you know, especially when you're a new teacher or like a sub, they disrespect you. Like, oh, they know because the teacher's not there that when you have a sub, things get wild, because they're like, you know, you can't enforce authority. In America, authority takes time, you know, to build that trust. But over there, immediately, they wanted to get to know you. They really wanted to get to know you, which is very, very different. I know as Christians, we preach love, but to preach love is also, you just can't say I love you without being known, without knowing God, without knowing and being known. When we say that we love people, you have to get to know them and make them known. What is it good to love people and not know them and not make them known, right? Every morning, in my mission trip, we had chapel. And one of the speakers there said that. And so that was a rhythm now that I pulled out from the message from a speaker there. And I carried that for the first week, to really know the people there and to make them known. Go to the next slide. They're building a church. This is a church in Malawi. I'm gonna try to speed it up. I just wanna share different points. This is a beautiful church that they're building. The churches there do not look like this, right? Like I said, they're very old, made by these old, very, like, you know, type of brick. But we're pouring out to the building of this new church. I'm going to skip ahead, go to the next slide. So this is, first that's Amos. Amos, I love this guy. I'm going to come back to the end and share kind of Amos' story. But if you notice, there's a bunch of balls right there, sports equipment. So we donated a lot of sports equipment. There, they're playing with old soccer balls. I played soccer one day. We kicked the ball, and it rolled down the hill, and it got deflated, and we're done. After that, like, all the fun was, it was just horrible. They had this old ball, and once it popped, that was it for the day. And I'm just so thankful that we brought, like, I don't know, 10 new soccer balls, and how simple that's going to bless them. But anyway, so this is sports day. I had to lead that. I was thankful for that moment. I created 8 different stations for the kids to play in. We played different American sports, which they're not familiar with. And the kids, so much joy, so much community building. Go to the next slide. I can go through it too quickly. So this is one of the murals. We painted, I think, 2 or 3 murals at this school. And the murals, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful that if you see the faces, the faces that we painted were the faces of the kids there, and they also helped out and build the painting. But to look at it, when the kids come to school, it develops a sense of pride when you see yourself. A lot of these kids never seen how they look. You know, they haven't seen their faces. And so when we came in there, we're taking pictures, and we're painting on the wall, they started to see themselves. And they started to see culture. They started to develop this pride. Go ahead, next slide. This is their ceremony. So this is day 5. So this is culmination on a Friday. And so the kids, it's a little bit different. On the last day, all the kids are recognized, and you find out if you pass on to the next grade level. And so this was different. They call you name by name, and we celebrate. So first off, grateful that a lot of them culminate and they move on. But then there's shame for those that, you know, they don't move forward. This part, it was very, very moving, because as a middle school counselor, right, when my kids culminate 8th grade year, I try to, a lot of these kids here in America first, they don't have family members that they celebrate with, or don't have a lot of joy. Especially in America, like, if you, getting through 8th grade is expected. Getting through 6th grade is expected, right? Now getting through high school. But over there, just sharing, you see these Americans, and we're clapping for them, and we're just so excited. Anyway, I'm just going to keep on going because there's just so much to share. Go to the next slide. So this is, I'm only going to talk about this real quick. I feel a little guilty, but one day we went on a safari. This was over the weekend. All right, guys, so one day vacation, we went to safari, and we actually saw the hippos there. We saw the, you know, lions and all of that. Go to the next slide. But even though I was on a, this was more like a self-care day, a day to just kind of enjoy, definitely got to love God's creation there. Part of God's gospel story in the Bible, we see that since the beginning, God cares about creation. And in this moment, I'm not somebody who cares about sunsets that much, all right? I know there's people that want to take pictures of every sunset. I'm not that type. You know, whenever there's a beautiful sunset, you know, people are like, oh, let's take a picture of it. I'm like, bro, I see that every single day, a sunset. Nothing new. But at this moment, after being filled by Holy Spirit this whole week, I was definitely able to just be still and recognize God's creation. There in Malawi, the animals there living. And I was definitely a moment of feeling God's Holy Spirit. I hope, as I mentioned earlier, as you're, if you're somebody who's struggling with anxiety, try to focus, try to get out of your mind by focusing on creation. That was one way I honestly felt peace in God's Holy Spirit, because I'm somebody who was always thinking about work, thinking about my weaknesses. But one way I got out of my head, which is just to be present and focus on God's creation. To get out of my head and think about Whittier. Look at the trees in Whittier, this building, the people around us. Think about the sun, think about the stars, and then you just realize how big and transcendent and God's creation is. Go ahead to the next slide. One day, this is a college camp tours. So we got the kids from the village, and we brought them to the college, so to African Bible College. A lot of these kids, I was with the fifth and sixth graders. This is their first time leaving the village and going to this university. And this university doesn't have much money, but a lot of these kids, they're able to see what a university could be. To a lot of them, they don't have dreams of becoming doctors, becoming engineers, because they never see that. Growing up, my dad, my parents told me, you're gonna become an architect one day. I'm like, all right. Even though I never met an architect, I never met one. And so growing up, I kind of like, all right, I'm gonna do this because I just want my family to do well. And I'm not an architect, you guys know that now. But I became a counselor, I became somebody involved in ministry because I finally saw it. My youth pastor, Jonathan DeLao, I was moved by him, and I'm like, I want to be that. So when we're in the village and we ask the kids, like, who do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up? A lot of them said teachers. 90% of them said teachers because that's all they've seen. They've never seen other professions, like to be a chef. They've never seen people, doctors. They've never seen all these other things. So at the school, this is the first time we took them to, go to the next slide. We took them to, go to the next slide. I think there's, well, this is a dorm. They never, you know, to experience a life away from their village. Go to the next slide. That's the dorm, so go to the next slide. This is the school has a TV and radio. So this is the first time they're seeing what TV and radio could look like. And they're asking questions, and now their brain is expanding, like, okay, now it's possible maybe become a radio host or do something on television. Go to the next slide. You just go back. No, go back. But on the campus, there's a clinic, there's a hospital, and so they're meeting doctors and meeting people that look like them, people from these villages, and they're seeing and they're getting inspired of what they could become. Go to the next slide. Go to the next slide. We held a conference. Go back. Yeah, we held a conference on frequencies. Go back. I'm going to start speeding up, guys. We held a conference on frequencies. Go to the next one right there. Yeah. This was a conference where we had pastors from all of the city and parts of Malawi. We had about 400 or 500 pastors come here, or different leaders in the church. And we talked about, this is about how we could improve communication. This is very important because in the Bible, we know that communication, that from creation, we see that Genesis 1:1, God spoke creation, right? God spoke and God creates out of nothing. We see in John chapter 1 that the Word was God and the Word became flesh. We see in the book of John also that God is a good shepherd and my sheep will hear my voice. So speech, God's voice, communication is God's power. As I share, I'm saying words right now. I could have just stood here and just stared at you guys. And I would have done nothing, just staring at you guys. You guys wouldn't have known what God is doing in Malawi. I had to use my words to share truth. And we see love through the words we speak. We could speak love and hope and voice, a hope of voice to people. And so we shared in this conference how as we communicate, we could actually speak life. God's glory moves through communication. We have that power. We see that in what God does, right? And so I just want to say one thing, though. This Malawi will reveal to me is that they were really challenged about communication. Because in the Bible, it doesn't talk about communication. The Bible doesn't talk about, like, this is how you're going to communicate. The Bible doesn't really talk about going to university, going to education. The Bible doesn't talk about that, right? The churches there, they're like, show us in the Bible how Jesus talked about communication. It really doesn't share it. And I noticed that in the church here, and in, I know you're in El Calvario, when we talked about things like education or communication, we're challenged by it because it doesn't say that in the Bible. Especially Christians, we want to be moved by the Bible and by what Jesus did. There's a lot of things that Jesus didn't do, and the Bible doesn't talk about, like education and communication. But we see that God revealed it in his creation through general revelation. We test it, and we see that it's good. And so I know a lot of us are like, no, don't bring it into the church. We don't see it in the Bible. But here, people were able to see God's glory by seeing how communication, God uses that. I'm just going to move forward to the next part. Some friends, go ahead. Is that the last slide? Oh, no. This is a day in the hospital where I was able to pray for the sick there. Just one quick line about that. When you pray for the sick, God's graces are present there. God's graces are still there. I was so blessed to pray for the people there. I met five different families, and I was able to just, when they saw me come in, we just all prayed. There was a little girl of 2 years old that she had like a tumor, and she had a skin disease. I was able to pray for her. And a few days later, she got released from the hospital. I'm not gonna say it was my prayers. I don't want, maybe, but the family was just definitely moved when we went there and to pray for the people that they were seen. We see the Bible, guys. If you look at Jesus' ministry, and this is where I want to kind of close. I'm just going to close with this, guys, and then we're going to go into a communion. But the Bible reveals the Messiah, our Savior, as the Son of Man. You know, there's two Son of Man statements that are very powerful. The Son of Man came to serve. We see that in Mark 10. And the Son of Man came to seek. There's another Son of Man that we see. Those two statements, Son of Man came to seek and serve, that explains what Jesus' mission was. But how do we do it? So if that's what Jesus' statements are, how do we do it? We see in Luke 7:34, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. So Luke 34 says, the Son of Man came to eat and drink. And it says, look at him. He's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by all her children. In this passage, guys, they're judging Jesus for eating and drinking. They call him a glutton and a drunkard. What does that mean? Jesus was eating a lot, and he was drinking a lot. A drunkard. He was drinking a lot of the wine. It's hard to picture Jesus eating a lot and drinking a lot of the wine. But his ministry, he spent so much time eating with people, having communion with people. What that meant in this time is that people were concerned, like, Jesus, why are you eating with the tax collector? Why are you eating with the sinners? When Jesus was eating with the tax collector and sinners, that was just by eating with them, he was including them at the table. God makes a table for us. Jesus prepares a table for us, and he invites all of us. And he does that just by seeing people. In his ministry, as he walked throughout Jerusalem, throughout Israel, he just saw people and invited them. He recognized them. And that communicated God's grace. And so the two things we see in Jesus' ministry, he ate with them and he healed them. If you don't know how to do ministry, it's pretty straightforward. Eat with people. Eat with people. It's that simple. We are so individualized now in our society that we don't eat with people as much as we do anymore. We don't. We eat by ourselves, and we don't even invite our friends and family to eat. But Jesus' ministry, it says here, the Son of Man, the Messiah, came to eat and drink with people. His ministry to do that. We're becoming a society where the only time we eat and drink with people is just through maybe a birthday or through a graduation. No, our daily life, our week, we have to be eating with more people. We're like, nah, I like my peace. I like to be alone. No, God's ministry, how did God seek and serve people? It was through eating and drinking. You serve them through that. You seek them. You seek people by inviting them into your home. You're like, oh, I don't want to invite that weirdo. You usually only eat with people that you feel close with, right? You're like, ah, oh, I'm selecting people who I want to eat with. No, God invited everybody to his table. And so to close, guys, I was invited to a table in Africa, Malawi. Jesus invited me to that table, and I was able to eat and drink with the people around there, the people of Malawi. There was a lot of great people of faith over there. Stories of people that come from dark spaces and places, days when they were hungry, they didn't know what to eat, family members dying, their brothers and sisters dying, but yet they were moved and they saw the truth of God's love. So many Malawians, you know, it's a Christian nation and there's some Muslim there, but a lot of them, even though they're one of the poorest nations, they don't know what to eat every day, and yet they are still loved and moved by God's gospel. They see that they're invited to a table, that God cares about them, that God has not forgotten about them. And it's not because I went, But because of God's history, God moving throughout history and his church, he cares about us. God cares about people so much. And so with that said, guys, I want to move into communion. Go to the next slides. Let me see. Can I have the team come up for communion, please? Step forward for communion. Go to the next slide. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. Yeah, you can leave it there. It's the first Sunday of the month, so you know, by tradition, our church, we do communion. I'm excited as we go through communion now. I just want you to think of the passage I just read from Luke 34, that the Son of Man, Jesus, God, he came to eat and drink with us. And so right now, we partake in communion. I want you to hopefully experience God's grace as we partake in the Lord's Supper. So if you could just bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm just going to pray for the service and communion. Father in heaven, we want to thank you, Lord, because you are good. We want to just come around the cross, come around your love, Father. We want to remember how you came on earth, Father, to eat and drink with us, Father.